that we don't show thankfulness, it can be toward anyone, is because we don't have the right relationship with God. We start looking at other people and it is so easy for us to be just extremely critical of them because after all, we're just totally perfect and everybody else is not. And it's amazing. We were talking about in class this morning about how, when he had to stay off the road, or at least know where Philip is now that he's driving. But we were discussing that and talking about Andrew and Philip both driving. And it's one of those things how it is that everybody else drives so badly and we drive so perfectly. And then we realize, whoops, I just almost hit somebody there. What was I doing? And the other person was very gracious to us and didn't tell us how much they loved us by giving us certain signs and symbols and blowing their horn and so forth. And we forget that we all make lots of mistakes. Now, granted, there are some that are dumber than others, and I've been on both ends of that. So we need to really think about that when we think about this lesson. One of our problems is when we are usually a very critical person, it is because we aren't very thankful. We just don't realize what we have. I was thinking about all the things that have been said from the first lesson and how we can know that leper had faith was he proved it through his works. He went back and he did exactly what Christ told him to do and then came back to thank Christ for what he did for him. And that proves his faith. Not that Jesus wouldn't have known that anyway. But we took this from Psalm 100 and enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And when we think about that and we think about thanksgiving, we think about this is the end of the year. We have a tremendous amount to look back to, and this was, of course, the last time I could preach this sermon in this year on this day, the first day of the week. So we're talking about doing things with thanksgiving. It's by faith that we believe all things were made by God and we give Him thanks. And we talked about that from Hebrews 11, verse 6. And of course, you can go to several passages in those first six verses of Hebrews. And we know that about God, how He made everything from nothing, it says. And that's an amazing thing because it is by faith we believe that. Everyone knows or should know that it came from nothing because there couldn't have been anything that was eternal except for God. But unfortunately, some don't believe that. Romans 1, 20 and 21. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Not just talking about the heavens and the expanse that that's in and all the stars and all of that, but us as well, all of us that are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. Where are the nine? That's the problem. But because became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Just like the nine lepers we studied in the first lesson, most do not glorify God, nor are they thankful to Him. Now they might have felt in their heart that they were. They'd been healed and they went on their way. That's all they really wanted. They got what they wanted, they thought. But unfortunately, they didn't do as they should have. We need to always approach God with thanksgiving. And I appreciate the prayers that have been said this morning so much, both in our assemblies as far as that and for the Lord's Supper itself, and how we need to be so grateful to God. Because you think about it. In that first lesson, in 1 Peter 2, by His stripes we are healed. It's not because we can do it ourselves, but because He heals us through our faith and obedience to Him. And it's amazing to me that He would turn around and say, by your faith you are healed. When we know that it's by His power we are, but it takes our faith for that to be accomplished because He will not do it otherwise. With thanksgiving for our physical family, it's interesting that Roger Jr. approached me about this because I was thinking about this and I was thinking about what a blessing we have. That because of Jesus Christ, and because of creation, and because of God, we have a physical family. It's not because we did it. It's not because we figured this out. I mean, man makes a mess of it, doesn't he? It's not because of us, but what a blessing from God. Oh, yeah, well, you just don't know. You just don't know, Abe. No, I don't. I do know I'm blessed. I have been blessed so bountifully. I was blessed today to have four more show up that... And that's a wonderful thing as I look over the audience and I think of my physical family that's here and how much they mean to me. all of them. I appreciate them so much. I have other physical family as well, but these are the closest to me in my family. And I think of this came from God. It wasn't because of me. It wasn't because I'm deserving of it. In Genesis 1, he talked about this, and he recognized the fact, not that God didn't know it before, but he recognized the fact that it wasn't good that Adam was alone. I would argue that it's not good for males to be alone. We need something in our lives, for sure. Mike, he said, we kidded him about it on Wednesday night, and he said, no, that's not the case. He didn't really want to be alone. But so if any woman hears this sermon, his name's Mike Lamb, Waynesville Church of Christ. He would be happy for you to contact him, and he's looking for a good, godly woman. So is Nick Garrett, and so are some others, and I'm appreciative of that they are, because they realize what a blessing it is to have someone. And think about this for just a moment. He says, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Whatever failings he has, I will put that in this other being so that together they can become one. Think about this for a moment. He recognizes that and he goes on down and he says, he caused a deep sleep to fall on him and he made woman. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He is so elated. Can you imagine? He's looked at all those animals and this beautiful woman walks out. Now, we realize he's not fully mature in mind like we might be today, but he recognizes a need for a companion like him. Someone he can converse with. Someone he can spend time with. Someone he can be there for him. Someone comparable to him. It didn't take him long, though, not to be so grateful. She brings him the fruit. He eats it. They both sin. They recognize their sin, and of course a lot comes out of that sin. But one of the things that happens is when God says, Adam, why did you do that? Adam was very gracious. He said, you know, I should have been more careful about that. I should have asked what she was giving me, or whatever excuse he had for not partaking of it, or partaking of it, or whatever. No, he didn't. No. That woman you gave me. My brother-in-law and I kid about this a lot. It's that woman you gave me. It's always that woman you gave me. That's my problem. Quick, isn't he? And don't sit there and go, I've never done that. It's never, you know, it's always. Or maybe it was her fault this time. And it was, somewhat. But he could have been more gracious about this and just recognized it for himself and said, I'm sorry, I sinned. But no, sir. No, sirree. Now, you see, the problem is we're just not grateful enough for the spouses that God has given us. We truly are not. We expect perfection out of our spouses. And when it doesn't happen, like Roger Jr. has already stated, sometimes when it doesn't happen in our families, we're very critical of them. We are. It's always been my reason. I mean, it's never. How could it possibly be my fault? And that's what Adam's trying to say with this. It's not my fault. The very one that God created for him, realizing his need not to be alone, is the first one he blames it on. A spouse is a very, very special blessing from God. If we recognize that, how many divorces would there be? How many angry words would be said? How many of us would try to help and maybe look over some faults rather than pointing them out so clearly to our spouses? Let me tell you, I never do that. And I just lied. That's not true. And you knew it wasn't true when I said it. It's our nature to want to, because for some reason we think it makes us feel so much better because we pointed out something that they did. Likewise, you wives, be in submission to your own husbands in 1 Peter 3, starting with verse 1, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Not your perfection in that you are sinlessly perfect, but a particular kind of chaste conduct in the way you dress, the way you act, the way you talk, the way you behave every day of your life. They see that in you. Do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of arranging the hair, of wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Don't let that be the first thing you think about every morning is, how do I look physically? Wake up every morning, he says, and say, how do I look spiritually? Do I have it on right? Am I looking good? Do I need to wash some of this black off by praying to God? Do I need to get the dirt away from me? But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit. Women, he said, gentle and quiet spirit. Make it that your adorning, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. And Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good, are not afraid with any terror. And someone said, well, that was Peter writing this. No. That was the Holy Spirit having this written. If it had just been Peter writing it, it would be no better than some philosophy book out there. I would tell you it's worthless. It's God's design. God's family. We belong to Him, whether we admit it or not, or whether we ever accept that. We belong to God. Likewise, now, you husbands, dwell with them with understanding. Don't be critical. There's things about women that you're not going to know. Do it with understanding. Giving honor to the wife. Not wiping your feet on her, but lifting her up among other people. Telling her how much you appreciate her. And how much she means in your life and what she means to you. I'm getting in trouble as I say this. You all know this. But I know it's right to say it. As to the weaker vessel, we know what he means by this. We understand what he means by this. All of us. We understand sometimes that emotionally, I would argue, and physically, usually women tend to be weaker. Men, on the other hand, even though we have emotions, we tend to deal more with logic, and we don't appreciate that side of it so much sometimes. And how many times we've said, I'm so appreciative, my wife pointed out something to me because I was just thinking like a man. You know, like getting directions and things like that we won't mention. And as being heirs together for the grace of life. Now this is an interesting thing here because he just talked about the fact that on this occasion someone could have become a Christian and be married to a non-Christian. How could you be heirs together for the grace of life? He's pointed it out. You do your part so that your spouse will know to do their part. And then together you can be heirs. When you think about this, you sell the husband, you live in such a way that together we can make it. You lead the family. You make sure that you lead them spiritually. You make sure you're there for the family. How many of us have taken the time this last week to have biblical discussions with our spouses? How many of us take time in our families to talk about God's Word? How many of us men lead in that respect? How many of us want to be heirs? Are we saying, I want to be an heir, but I don't want to do anything to be a son? You really think you're going to receive anything from your parents if you don't even consider yourself your son and you basically cast yourself away from them and then time comes? That's not the way that works. We need to work on our spouses. If we have God's Word, we need to make sure that we're heirs together of the grace of life. And this is critical for men that are Christians, that your prayers be not hindered. Do you want a situation where you cannot talk to God your Father? Do you want a situation where for sure He will not answer your prayer? He said, Abe, you just treat your wife badly. You treat her in such a way that I will cut off communication with you. You think that's not serious? You think men, that suddenly we can treat our wives any way we want to and treat them like they're just owned property, and God still will just listen to us because He loves us so much? Absolutely not. We need to make sure that we keep this relationship right. That it is with thanksgiving we dwell with our spouses, being thankful to God that we're given such a beautiful blessing from Him with all of our warts. It's amazing. And then, of course, children. Oh, what a blessing. Of course, until it's 2 o'clock in the morning or when we're waiting for them to come home when they get older and they didn't show up on time. No. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to even have that concern. It's a blessing from God to even have all of that concern for these little ones as they grow up. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. You think about David writing this. Think about this for a moment. If David wrote it, it says off Solomon, I don't know who wrote it, but you think about this for a moment. If David wrote it, all the problems he had with his children. But you think about this as a warrior. Arrows were your life. You run out of arrows and you have nothing left. He said, that's how important children should be to you. You should understand they come from God. They're a heritage from God. They're a blessing from God. And what a great blessing it is. But let me reverse this. Parents are a blessing to their children. Oh, that's a hard one to learn. And I think Samantha now knows it. Bill will. You know, one of my sayings was, basically, you know that old thing, just wait till you have your own. It is one of those things because we really can't understand until we get ourselves in a situation like this and we have our own children. But I'm going to tell you something. Finally, they realized that this woman in Proverbs 31, this woman that we look at, such a virtuous woman, this woman who lived in the family, taking care of the family, being there for the family, loved her family, proved it to her family by her works. And finally, we find that her children rise up and call her blessed. Man, that's something a mother waits for, right? You can't wait for that day that finally this little twerp that's giving you so much trouble all their life is now rising up and calling you blessed because you took the time out of your life and sacrificed to give to them. And now they realize it. Now they wake up at 2 in the morning wondering where their children are. And now they wake up and go in there and rock that child all night long. And this is what makes it all worthwhile. Grandchildren are the crown of old men. I got to tell you right now, they're my crown. I walk around with them like it's the most precious thing on the face of this earth. Because it is. I walk around realizing that all that time I spent with Samantha, being an imperfect father, that now I can be the perfect grandfather. I got it figured out now. I know what to do. I know how to spoil them. I know how to just spoil them rotten. I know how to treat them now. I figured it out. It took me a while. Sam went, I wished I'd have got some of that. No, you don't. That's your responsibility to do like I did in training them up. You're going to have to teach them better than what unfortunate grandpa. I hope I don't teach them wrong. I hope I serve as an example for them, and I hope I teach them God's word. They are the crown of old men, as he says in Proverbs 17:6. Oh, what a blessing it is to have grandchildren. Do we realize what we have from God? I mean, I didn't realize today when I put this lesson together that I was going to have that here. What a blessing. What a blessing that I can look out and see another generation. and tell you how much I love my grandchildren. I love them as much as I love my children. And my daughter-in-law and son-in-law. It is just a wonderful blessing from God. What a blessing to be in a spiritual family. We're named after Him. It says all the family of earth in Ephesians 3:14 through 21 are named after Him. Isn't that amazing? In heaven and in earth. He made us His family. We didn't deserve it, but He made it through, as we discussed this morning, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Paul said it this way about his family, and I would say the same thing about you. I love so many people that are Christians in this life. I love all people, but I tell you what, it is a special thing to be able to come together with my spiritual family. It's a big spiritual family. I go a lot of places, and I'm just so amazed at what God did. He put people in my life that really do care about me. That really want me to do right. They talk to me and they tell me what I need to do. They encourage me. Philippians 1:3-6. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And I do. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Oh, I got to tell you, just like in my physical family, I'm the only one that's perfect. Just like in my physical family, we're all imperfect. The spiritual family is the same way. And I got to tell you something. I can pick you to death. And you can me too. We have faults. But when someone in this physical family does something wrong, let's just go to them and talk to them about it. Let's make it right. Let's quit talking about them and talk to them. I thank God on every remembrance of you. Always, in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from this day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I thought about that from Wednesday night, didn't you? When Glendon said, I'm the oldest one in this building that was baptized for the remission of my sins here. And he's the oldest one, he and Edith, of the original group that was here to help put this group together and start this work here. Isn't that amazing? Are you not confident that he can finish this good work that he's helped start through his rest of his life? That's what we do. That's what we're here for. He said the same thing about individual Christians. He talked about Philemon and he said, I thank God for you. He talked about Timothy and I thank God for you. There's one thing sure about Paul, he did. He individually mentioned these people to God for what a blessing they were to him. Timothy was such a blessing to Paul to be there with him and to help him along the way. A young man who helped him, someone who was a little bit older. Let's think about God's blessings on this local congregation. We had some additions to our family this last year. Isn't it wonderful when you have someone that comes into the family? Maybe as a, we'll say a son-in-law, a daughter-in-law, or something along that line. And it's just wonderful and they just add to the family. Right? We had some. We've had some people that have decided to come and be with us. It's beautiful, isn't it? Acts 2:47. We had some new Christians. We had some new Christians, and the last two that were baptized in this building were Dustin and Philip. But look around the room and how many of you were baptized into Christ in this building. Pretty amazing, isn't it? And you're here today. Baptized into Christ. It's amazing. Quite a few, if you look around and think about it. And that was a discussion we had a little bit Wednesday night. And the Lord adds to the church daily, such as are being saved. It's God that does that. And then we had Christians who decided to be a part of this local group. Just like in Acts 11:26, when Barnabas took Paul and they came and they assembled with a local church. They wanted to be with a local church. That's what it's all about. It's impossible to be a part of this and not be a part of it, isn't it? Not assemble, not ever be with people. Selling this building and being able to rent it back. Why do we need a building? Well, Acts 20... They certainly knew that. They came together in that upper room. We see them having a place to come and assemble. You need that place. Everybody needs to know where it is. Now, we can rent, we can buy, we can do whatever. But we are end up building a new facility to meet in. 1 Corinthians 11, I was glad that Cody used part of that in talking about the Lord's Supper. Because there's a proof text there about a need for a place to assemble, and he's making a differentiation between that and a house. We don't know where they assembled, but they had a place. And whatever it was, he said it was different from those houses that you eat and drink in. And he goes on down, and I want to use just 33 and 34. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. Not a physical place, not a physical meal. Nothing to do with that. We're going to leave here hopefully later, and several of you can come together and be with a covered dish meal together somewhere else at our home. That's where we go do that. This isn't what this is about. This is a spiritual meal in many ways. And that's why we built this facility to do that, to assemble in, and to do the things that God would want us to do. I thank you for good Bible studies. You know, just like in Acts 18, we find a couple having a Bible study with someone. They found Apollos, and Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and taught him the way of the Lord more perfectly. Now, whether that's done in a situation like that, or we set aside times to come together to study the Bible together, it is such a wonderful thing to be able to study the Bible together. To be able to come to a better understanding of God's Word. I might be that Apollos that needs some tweaking, but I would argue that every one of us in this room needs some tweaking. We need to continually study God's Word so that we can learn it better. We have more men capable of giving sermons. Aren't you thankful for that? 2 Timothy 2:2, and I realize the word there, man, is the general term for humanity, but it talks about teaching people so that they can teach other people. That's what it's all about. That's what we want to do. We have many men that are capable of it. We have men that are capable of it that yet aren't doing it and need to be. We have more women capable of teaching and doing other work necessary than we've ever had before. This year we've got more. Paul was very complimentary of those women who worked in the local congregations. In Romans 16, he said about Phoebe, he said, well, she's a servant to the church. She served that church. Whatever they needed, she understood her place and she did it. He talks about Priscilla and Aquila, Mary, and others who did that. Women who are equally important in any local work. Equally important. And we have to remember that and need to remember that. What a blessing it is. That we don't have to. It's still hard sometimes to get teachers. But it's not because we don't have capable people now and plenty of them. It's just sometimes people are busy and they don't have maybe that opportunity or take that opportunity to teach. But what a blessing it is. How many people we have men to lead singing? To lead in prayer, to do all these things. Who did it? We did it. No. God did it. Anything that we've accomplished in this local congregation has been because of God. Our edifying each other in song, in prayer, in giving, in the Bible, partaking the Lord's Supper together. But what a blessing to have a group of people we can come together with. We don't have to concern ourselves over how they might act or think. We know that they truly believe in God. We know in Ephesians 4, and I just want to use the 16th verse. He talks about them all, the church coming together as the word is being taught. And finally, they're going to have the written word. And he says, "For from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies." And I would argue one of the reasons we're doing as well as we are is because we're doing this with thanksgiving, trying to not be overly critical, looking at things honestly, trying to encourage each other, trying to be there for each other, and trying to provide what we need to for the congregation. All of us are not going to provide everything. It's a joint effort, and that's what he talks about. According to the effective working by which each part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Building up. That's what we need to be doing, not tearing down. And thankfully, we're building up. And what's more important than that building we built is the building that Christ built. We have a building not made with hands. Not made with hands. And I don't care how well that church's building is put together, it'll never be put together like the one Christ put together. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We have a lot to be thankful for. And Lord willing, as in if time lasts, we will have many new blessings in our lives in the years to come. What a blessing it is to be blessed by God. How thankful to God we would be if you would become a Christian today. Would you? Please think seriously about it while together we stand and sing number 3.